Well, let's open our Bibles as we start this lesson this evening to John chapter 3 and verse 16. And I'm going to read verses 16, 17, and 18. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And let's jump over this evening. Let's jump over to John 13. Let's look at that scripture. Let's stay in John for a minute on our way to John 14. So we'll stop at John 13 for a moment. And let's read verses 34 and 35. "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." And now let's take a look at John 14. We've been in a series of messages called Speak the Word Only. And if you would, let's read verses 10, 11, and 12, and 13. And it says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And verse 14, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now let's look at verse 21, and let's read that also. "He that hath my commandments," well, we just got done reading John 13, 34, and 35. That is a commandment. "And keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." Now let me ask a question, just as an aside. Are there a lot of people in the church world looking for the Lord to manifest himself to him? Boy, all the time. You know, I wish God would show me or manifest his will to me. He says here, he gives us a process, doesn't he? He gives us an equation or a process. He just says here, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Boy, that's pretty simple, isn't it? You just keep the commandments of love, you keep his commandments, and he said here, "You'll be loved of the Father, loved by me, and I will manifest myself to you." Boy, there'd be a lot less praying, wouldn't there? And more doing. And all we have to do is walk in love and obey him, and he'd manifest himself to us. And so I think, you know, sometimes, and I am here not to say that we shouldn't have the gifts of the Spirit. They are necessary. But I think so often the church looks for a word from God for direction when we have a more sure word of prophecy here that says, if you'll walk in love, you'll be loved by the Father, by me, and I will show you. Amen. I'll manifest myself. But some of us are looking, we want a word from God through someone, and that's necessary. It is, because God has put the offices and the gifts of the Spirit in the church to help us and to guide us. So that's necessary. But we have a more sure word of prophecy. If we just obey and listen, he'll manifest. And I'll tell you, that's pretty easy, isn't it? Well, sometimes I'd say it's easy, but sometimes it's not so easy. We have to walk by faith. But let's jump over here. I want to jump over here this evening and spend a few minutes and look at Proverbs chapter 4. The Lord spoke some things to me as I was... how many does the Lord speak to you when you're just waking up in the morning? Boy, he does me. And this morning he was speaking. Strongly. Proverbs chapter 4, familiar passage here, starting in verse 20 through 27, is a familiar set of scriptures here for us. I'm going to read from the King James Version. It says, "My son, attend to my words." Now, we just got done reading, "If you'll obey my commandments and love one another," he said, "they'll know you're my disciples. And if you have my commandments and keepeth them, then he'll manifest himself." But this says here, "My son, attend to my words." That means pay attention, doesn't it? Pay attention, listen, be attentive to my words. Incline thine ear. That means turn your ear or bend your ear unto my sayings. Yield to them. Let them not depart. When you depart from something, you turn aside. You kind of go in the wrong direction. It's something that if you depart, what happens when you depart from a course? You depart. You're out of view. You might say from the direction you're going in. Isn't that right? If you start going down a road and you depart from the course, you're off course, you're out of view of the direction you're going. So this says here, let them, the word, not depart from thine eyes. Don't let them get out of view of what? Your eyes. Right? It says keep them, or guard them, you might say. Keep them in the midst of where? Thine heart. For they are life. I like that. That word is, when you look that word life up, it means sustenance or maintenance. You know how sometimes we need maintenance to something or sustenance? This word here means for they, the word of God is life or sustenance unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. That means, and that word also means medicine. And it says, keep thy heart with all diligence. This is verse 23. For out of it are the issues of life. Out of what? Out of your heart are the issues of life. Put away from thee. Now, this is interesting. If you look from verse 24 down through 27, you see another process here. You see, you might call it a formula, equation, a process. Look here and look at verse 24. He's told you some things to do. Up in the front, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now look at verse 24. Put away from thee a what? A froward mouth. That's a perverseness of lips. And what else does it say? Let thine eyes look right on. Well, that's just exactly what we just saw here. It says, let them not depart from thine eyes or turn aside. This says here, let your eyes look right on or straight on. Don't look at other things. Look at the Word. Don't be distracted by other things. Look right on. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So you can see here the distractions that can enter in. This says here, he's saying, put away from thee a perverse mouth, things that come out of your mouth that are not what the high priest said. That's perverse. Something that he didn't say is perverse. If he says, you're blessed, if he says, you're healed, and you say something other than that, what would we consider that? That's a froward mouth. That's something that's perverse. That's something that's not what he said. If he says you are blessed, then you are blessed. If he said you are healed, you're healed. If he said you're the head and not the tail, then so be it. That's what you are. If he says he's given us this spoil over here, then for us to think or say something different is perverse. And that's why when we heard Sunday night, sweep things out, that's another way of saying it. You got to sweep things out of your mind, and what you think on is going to ultimately end up getting down in your heart, and you'll talk it, you'll speak it, you see. So we need to put away a froward mouth, speaking things, and it says, and perverse lips put far from thee. And this is here, let thine eyes look right on, straight ahead. That means don't get distracted. Don't let, well, let's put it another way. Back in verse 23, it says, keep thy heart or guard thy heart. I like what God's Word translation says. It says, guard your heart more than anything else. Guard it. That means put up sentry. You just guard it. What does that mean? That means when you find yourself being not looking right on, you're being distracted with other things, then you're to do what? Say, oh no, I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to spend my time with that, because then I'm letting junk get in my heart, am I? I'm letting junk get in my heart and my mind, which then can be perverse or corrupt. And so there are so many distractions today that we can find ourselves, you know, in life being distracted with a whole lot of things. And because the earth is so visual now with TV, and now you've got these things, you've got phones that'll just do anything you want them to do, they can become a distraction, and you can find yourself being glued to these things in during the day, and you find yourself not keeping your eyes straight on and looking straight on. And you have to say that, what does this say? It says, you put it away. You put away a froward mouth. You're supposed, it says, let thine eyes. He's not going to do it. You've got to say, no, I'm not going to spend my time doing that. I'm going to spend my time with my eyes and my ears and my heart directed towards him. Because otherwise, what ends up happening is we're not doing this. We're not guarding our heart more than anything else, because it says, because the source of your life flows from it. Now, I was listening to some messages the past couple days. I was down visiting my family in Florida for a few days last week, and I was listening to some messages, and this was an interesting comment or a word that Kenneth Copeland's daughter had. And I thought this was a really it was from the Holy Ghost. And she said, if your mouth fills your heart with the word of faith when you don't need it, then your heart will fill your mouth when you do need it. And I said, oh yeah. If your mouth fills your heart with the word of faith when you don't need it, then your heart will fill your mouth when you do need it. And I said, oh yeah. See, that's guarding your heart. Because you're putting the word of God in your heart when you don't need it. During peacetime. But when you do need it, up comes out of your heart and fills your mouth with the word of faith, and then the high priest of our profession. See, he will be the high priest of our profession, you see. And he will bring those, because we're going to say the same things that he has said. So we need to guard our heart. Fill our heart with the word of faith when we don't need it. See? And then when you do need it, you'll have it at your disposal. Let's turn over to Matthew 13 for a minute. Matthew chapter 13. And the Holy Ghost, you know, and since most of us have been coming to all of the services. We've been coming to the morning services and the evening services and the Wednesday services. The thing I like is that when you step back, you get a perspective of what the Holy Ghost is saying through different people. And he is saying some things about us spending more time with him, seeking him, desiring him more than anything else. And he's also speaking to us about spending more time in prayer, seeking him in our private time, or, you know, finding time to seek him more and to spend more time meditating in his word, along with some other things about favor and the things that God has put in my heart to speak about speaking the word only. And Pastor Greg has been teaching on consecration. They all have a thread through all of it. And we need to listen and be attentive to that. And not just come and say, oh yeah, that was nice, that was a great message. But listen to it and begin to take that and begin to make some adjustments in our thinking, and even Friday night, Sunday night, about sweeping out some of the thoughts that we have that we may have held on to. Because it's going to get us to the next place in God. And God is a gentleman. He's not going to make us do anything. As you get to Matthew 13, now let's start in verse 9, and I'm going to read down through verse 19. It says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. Isn't that an interesting thing? They seeing, see not. And keep that in your thinking. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. Now, look at verse 15. Here's the key. For this people's heart is waxed gross. for their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, who closed? They have closed, right? Yes. They closed their eyes, lest at any time they should see with their eyes. They closed them. And it says, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Wow. So this here, they closed their eyes, they closed their ears, and their hearts were dull. And he said, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and because of that, they should understand with their heart. See? And this is why it's important when we read Proverbs 4. It says, guard your heart with all diligence. Keep thine eyes. Let tend to thy words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Don't let them depart. Keep them in your hearing. Keep them in your sight, in your visual. And he said, and then guard your heart. But see, if we don't, look what happened here. They closed their eyes. They closed their ears. And he said, but if they had, he said, they should have understood. And they would be converted. What does that mean? That means their minds would have been transformed by the word of God, and they would have been able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And this says here, he should heal them. So here again is a process that if we keep our eyes on the word of God and keep our ears filled with the word of God, don't let junk come through your eyes and through your ears. Because this here, when we read Proverbs 4, see, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it is the issues of life. But before that, it says, if you do all these things, for they, the word of God, are life, it's maintenance, it's sustenance unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So we have a direct impact on what we are putting in our hearts through our eyes and through our ears. And when we get that down in our heart, it can affect what comes up and out, the life to this body. Now think about this. Let's turn over here, because I was going there, but let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 16, it says, For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is what? Renewed day by day. I like, let me read out a few other translations, because it's a great scripture. It says here, the Good News Translation said, for this reason, we never become discouraged. Even though our physical being is gradually decaying, yet our spiritual being is renewed day after day. How? By letting the Word of God come in our eyes and our ears, and it gets down in our heart, and what? It is life and health to all of our flesh. All of it. And I like the Message translation. It says, so we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us. On the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. See, he's renewing what? The inward man, day by day. See, now you think about this. This spirit, we're tripart. We have a spirit, a soul, and a body. This spirit and soul can live without this body. And it is going to live without this body forever. But this body can't live without this spirit. So the life force for this body comes from the spirit. And it is important to guard it with all that's within you. Don't let junk and trash get in there, because it can affect the life of this body. The Amplified in 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says, "Therefore, we do not become discouraged, utterly spiritless, exhausted, and wearied out through fear, though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day by day." How many are being progressively renewed day by day? I'm being progressively renewed day by day on the Word of God, listening to it, reading it, and that Word is getting down into my spirit man and progressively being renewed, stronger, strengthened. And what does that mean? That's affecting my physical body. And so we need to, there is, let's think of it this way. If the scripture says that it is life and health to all my flesh, all of our flesh, that means there is no disease, no sickness that can't be healed by the Word of God. Not one. We can miss it. His Word can never miss it. So that means that somewhere along the line, if we don't get healed in something, we're missing it somewhere. We have short-circuited the process, because God's Word never fails. Ever. So that means we need to know, what is the process? What's the right methods that we should be applying to get the results? Isn't that not correct? So for me, it's finding out, okay, what should I be doing? What should I not be doing? What am I spending time doing that I shouldn't be doing? And now, you have jobs. So do I. I work in the ministry. And so we're Pastor Greg and I are pastors. Pastor Sarah is a pastor. You can get busy doing a lot of things in ministry and still miss God and not be quiet, not get His direction, not get His mind on something. And you can run yourself ragged and not be filled with the life of God and get sick and tired and worn out, just like you all work in a job. You can run, and you say, "Man, I am whipped." And you say, "Why? Why are you whipped?" Because somewhere along the line, we're not doing something correct. Because in the natural, how many know when you eat right, you get enough rest, your immune system's right, you're exercising, you're in good shape, correct? So you're doing something right. But the minute you don't eat right, you're short-circuiting something. You don't get enough rest, your body begins to break down, doesn't it? And you get sick. Well, it's the same thing where the Word of God is concerned. He said, "My words are life and health to all of my flesh." So that means if I'm not doing something proper, I'm not going to get the results, am I? I'm not going to get the results. So it's important that when we look at this, look at we're in verse 16. Let's look at verse 17 and 18. It says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So we're to look on those things which are eternal that have more value, more weight, and their life to us. And we should not let this earth and the world system distract us. Now let's turn over to Romans chapter 8 for a minute. Romans chapter 8. Says in verse 5 and 6, it says, "For they that are after the flesh do what? They mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." You see? And when we mind, whatever we set our minds on, whatever we touch with our minds, or another way of saying it is, whatever our minds are on, we touch. We touch that with our minds. So if our minds are on carnal things, then we touch carnal things, don't we? But this said here that they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What does it say? Verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." That means zoe. That means the life of God, zoe, and peace. So when we are spiritually minded, it means keeping our minds on the things of God. Now, you know, folks would say, well, how can I do that when I have a job? How can I do that, you know, when I have children and I've got other responsibilities? You can still keep your mind on spiritual things. I have, even while you're doing other things. You can still take time out during that busyness to keep your heart and your mind tuned towards God and not be engrossed, or your heart is turned in such a way where you're not even thinking about God, not giving Him place or looking to Him for direction during the day. Is that not true? And we can get so engrossed in the processes of life that we don't even have our heart towards God. That's what's not right. And when we do that, then at that point, we're not guarding our heart. See, we're touching and allowing that to motivate our thinking and motivate our heart. So when we have pressure, see, this is what Kenneth Copeland's daughter was sharing. If you fill your heart with the Word of God with your mouth when you don't need it, then your heart will fill your mouth when you do need it. When are you going to need it? When the pressure's on. When the pressure of life is on and you're being squeezed, then what should come up out of your heart? What you've been meditating on, what you've been putting in it. Not, oh man, I can't stand this. Okay, then that's what you've been meditating on. You've been meditating on it, letting it affect your thinking, and your heart hasn't been turned towards God to say, God, what should I do? How should I handle this? And He may say, pray for this. You go do this. This will break that in this office. And He'll show you what to do. Or in your family, how to respond in the family. How to head it up as the priest of the home, the husband. and the wife, how she should operate in the home. But if you're just frustrated because of stuff going on, then you're not placing the word of faith in the heart so that when there's a squeeze and pressure, you don't know how to respond. Well, you're responding, but you're responding with froward mouth. See, and then we're going to stand, we're going to be judged for that. So it's important that we guard our heart and place in it during this time so that when the pressure's on, we'll know how to respond. We'll get quiet. We'll immediately say, okay, God, what do you want me to do here? And we're not going to be rattled by the pressure and say something that we shouldn't say. Now, we're all learning. We're all growing. We're all learning to, whoops, I didn't do too good here. Let me correct that. Let me fix that. But once you realize that you're, you have a deficit in an area, then we should be taking the time to let our eyes and our ears meditate and focus. What does it say? Keep your eyes straight on. Don't be moved and distracted by the things that are going on in your life. Keep your eyes straight on God and His Word. Get quiet, because at that point, sometimes in life, the pressure's on and you're frustrated with something, you're annoyed at something, and sometimes we say things out of that frustration, don't we? And it's usually because we've not put a watch over our mouth. We just say, and you just bark something. And makes you feel good, doesn't it? You get it out and you vent a little bit, but it's still there, isn't it? Hadn't changed. And you're still frustrated, but you unloaded, you got your guns unloaded, but now you're getting them packed up again and ready to fire again. And I'm ready, But nothing's really changed and nothing's solved. And that's why at this point we need to keep our eyes and ears open to His Word and guard our hearts so that we have direction in life and direction so that we don't just go off and say some things that we shouldn't. Now let's jump further down here to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Let's see, I made... Let's go to 1 John 5 first. First John chapter 5, starting in verse 4, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Are you born of God? So you have overcome the world. Now you may not think so, you may not feel like it, it may not look like it, but this scripture here says, "For whatsoever is born of God has or overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" So I'm an overcomer. Just what we were singing. Just because I have believed that Jesus is the Son of God makes me an overcomer. I've been born again, translated or taken out of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. "This is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Verse 9, if we receive, so see this here now, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is what? Greater. It's greater. So we should be what? Be receiving the witness of God. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. My. I have eternal life in me. I am an overcomer. Don't let the witness of this world, don't let junk get in here that changes that word. That word says you are an overcomer because you've believed in the Son of God. And you have eternal life in you. That makes you somebody. So don't let people tell you, don't let the world tell you that you're not somebody. Don't let the witness of man, which is not greater than the witness of God. And what does it say? This is the witness of God. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. I have his witness in me. I have eternal life in me. Verse 11. He, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. What is 14? And this is the confidence. We're talking about faith now. This is the confidence that we have in him. Right? That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. I have this witness in me that I'm his child. And I have, what does it say over there? We said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. I am born of God. I have eternal life, and I have this witness and this confidence that if I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him. Don't let thoughts of what you see. What does it say? What we see is temporal, but what we don't see is eternal. This that we don't see is eternal life. That is eternal. And it's the witness that I have in me that I have confidence that if I ask him anything according to his will, he hears me. And if I know he hears me, then I have it. So we need not beg anymore. We need not grumble and ask God, please help me. No, I am an overcomer. We need to start taking what belongs to us. How are we going to know what belongs to us? Keep our eyes right straight ahead. Keep our eyes and our ears open. See, What did he say in Matthew 13? He said, this people's heart is waxed gross. See? And their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes, they closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and be converted. We have the witness in us. So let's not close our eyes and close our ears and let our hearts become waxed gross. See, not in this time. See, we are his children. Now, let's jump over to 1 John chapter 4. And let's look at verse 4. See, it's important, as we've been hearing from various messages, to follow the plan, the process, the equation that God has laid out. Because when we do, we'll get the results. That's just exactly what he said there. You have the witness in you. If you ask anything according to his will, he'll hear you. That's a method. That's a process. But if you just ask him a bunch of stuff and you don't know what his will is, he's not going to hear you. Amen. He's not obligated to bring to pass something that's not his will. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. What does it say? Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I like the Amplified. It says, little children, you are of God. You belong to him and have already defeated and overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist. Oh yeah. Because he who lives in you is greater, mightier than he who is in the world. Boy, I'll tell you, he's greater in me than any pressure that's going to come against me. He's greater. He's greater than any agent of the Antichrist. Anybody who wants to, you know, some folks say, oh, you know, watch out for that folk over there. You know, but they are, you know, devil worshipers. Okay, who's greater? The Spirit of God, the eternal life in me is greater. Now, I'll say this, if God says don't go over there, don't go over there. Because you could find yourself in a place without protection. But wherever you go, and you're authorized to go, that and he who was in you is greater. He who's in me is greater than he that is in the world. He that is in me is greater than sickness and disease. He that is in me is greater than poverty. He that is in me is greater than lack. He that is in me is greater. And we need to change and get our minds fixed that no matter what comes, we may find ourselves flat on our back in a hospital bed. Greater is he that is in me. The eternal life in me is working. And one of the things that we've got to do, well, I say one of the things we have to do, is let's go back as we close here. Let's look again at Proverbs 4, because if we're still working through a process, let's say you're still working through something in your body. This is a method here. This is an equation, a process. And if you will follow this, this says here, it is life and health to all your flesh. That means I don't care what the doctor has said, if you follow this equation, you will get the results. What did he say? He said, my son, attend. That means to be attentive, pay attention, listen to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from where? From their eyes. That means not to turn aside. That means not to be lost from view. What? From your eyes, his words. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. That means don't fill it with other things. And what can happen is that when someone, because we've seen it, I've experienced it, and I had to grip, I had to yank myself out of that. And I remember when the Lord spoke to me and said, you've got about 6 months to live. When the body gets physically compromised, that the body and the mind get weary and tired and fatigued. But I can tell you this, I've learned some things through that process, that if you keep your eyes and your ears on the Word of God, and you keep your mouth full of it, that it begins to change the direction. And I can tell you, just from personal experience, I've seen it, I've experienced it, that you can get weary in those settings, and you can just give up. And that's what happens. A lot of people get fatigued, they get weary, and they just say, eh, I'm tired. But that's not, I'm not saying that there's that's wrong, because you know, some folks, they say, okay, I'm ready to go home. And they go, and they're with Jesus. But I can tell you here, if we follow this process, anything in your body can be corrected. Anything. And I'm convinced of it because God's word cannot lie. It's settled. Now, if we don't get the results, it's because we're not applying something properly. And that's what I did. When I didn't get the results, I said, okay, God, something, after a year of confessing the word, but I can reflect back now, and here's something that I'll share. Here's a tidbit. What does this say here? It says, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. Let me ask this question, because I know you know this. How many here, when they're walking through a symptom, how many are quick to confess from something they remember? How many are quick to quote something, a scripture that they know? How many? We all do. But along with that, how many are quick to not let the scripture depart from your eyes? How many, most of us, we quote the scripture, right? We quoting it. Christ is redeeming from the curse of the law. We're quoting all the scriptures. But are we keeping the word in front of our eyes? In most cases, no. So have we deviated from the equation? Yeah, we have. Because our bodies, what did it talk about? There's an inward man and there's an outward man. And this inward man, it's, in other words, this body is integrated. All the parts work together. And so when this, why it's this way, I don't know. But God has said, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. But he says, incline thine ear unto my sayings. A lot of times we do this. And you know this is true. Somebody's in the hospital. What do? They play tapes all the time. I got to hear it. Because why? Faith comes by hearing. Which is true. Nothing wrong with that. But this says here, let it not depart from your eyes. So how many of us are doing both? Letting it not depart from your eyes and inclining your ears to it. It's both, isn't it? Isn't it? So sometimes we're doing some of it, but we're not doing all of it. Huh? Oh, you're thinking out loud. Yeah. Yeah. But you see here, this is the equation. And sometimes we add things to it or adjust it because we think it's right. We've heard other people say, well, I'm just going to feed on the word, listen to tapes. I've done it and have gotten results. But the process here is attend to his words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. We've got to do it all. Not just listen to the word of God, but we've got to see it. Because, remind yourself, you say, well, I don't know about that. Okay, so then why did Jesus in Matthew 13 say, over here, he said, for this people's heart is waxed gross and their ears are dull of hearing, for their eyes they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. So we need to hear with our ears and see with our eyes. You see. And let me just follow over here. There's another part of this scripture here. In verse 18. See, what does it say after it says, and I should heal them? What does the next verse say? In verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Who's speaking here? Jesus. And when somebody says blessed, that means empowered, doesn't it? When he says you're blessed, that means you're empowered to see and empowered to hear. It says you're blessed. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So as we go forward, you know, sweeping out thoughts, we need to spend time not only hearing, but looking. Amen. Letting our eyes touch the scriptures and feed upon it. One good way is to open the Bible, and when you read it, you read it out loud. That's why when we read John 3:16, we look at it and then we speak it out loud. So your eyes are touching it, your ears are hearing it. Correct? Amen. So sometimes during the day, that's a good way to read the scriptures, is take them out and read them out loud. So when you have healing scriptures, take the healing. We have a healing scripture card here. It's also available on the internet, on a website. Take that, look at them, and read them out loud. That's getting it down into your heart by reading it and speaking it at the same time. God has made us that way. And praise God. Amen. I think we'll close. It's 9:30. But as we do, take the time, because when you do, when you take the time to let it not depart from your eyes, and you keep it in the midst of your heart, it's going to be life unto those that find it, and health to all your flesh. That means I don't care what malady you have. Take the time during the day. You know, when you think about it, think about this. If you had a doctor's prescription and you just looked at it and didn't get it down over the lips, and you just looked at it and said, you just read the label. Well, then it'll help you. And sometimes we need to make sure that we're following the process of the medicine. And in this case here, we need to look at it and we need to speak it. And those things in our bodies that have, you know, we're working through, you're going to find they're going to change. They're going to correct themselves. And I don't care if the doctors see, are we receiving the witness of man or the witness of God? His witness is greater. And man may tell you, that it can't change. It's not possible to change, and you'll have to live with that the rest of your life. Well, that's not God's will. He's already told us this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then we have what He said His will is. So He's told me I'm healed, I'm delivered. But I need to look at that scripture and read it and say it out loud as I'm looking at it. And say, Father, I thank you, I'm receiving your word now. And I'm doing what? I'm putting it down into my heart so that when I need it, what's in my heart fills my lips. And what's going to come up out of the heart as unctioned by the Spirit is what? A sword. Amen. It's the sword of the Spirit that will change something. So, we are healed, we're delivered, and greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Let's say that. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is the eternal life in me than any sickness or disease in my body. I have eternal life, and it is working in my body to affect a healing and a change in my body. See, now that's good to confess, but we need to go to the scriptures, find the healing scriptures or the prosperity scriptures, whatever scripture it is, and look at that and speak it out loud. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for your word this evening. We receive it as life, sustenance, maintenance to our flesh. And Father, we purpose to guard our heart above all else, for out of it comes life and medicine and health to all our flesh. And so, Father, we thank you for your word, which has within it the power and the life of God to direct us and to nourish us. It has the power within it to bring to pass that which it has, that which it says. And Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. And we have confidence that you hear us, for we're your children, and we thank you for it. Amen.